Welcome to Transformation Church Podcast. We are so excited you tuned into our Damaged Goods series, where Pastor Mike speaks on how to respond when life happens. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
I want to close on my portion of what God is doing through this particular story of Mephibosheth by giving us what I'm calling damage control principles. Because we've been following the life of a guy named Mephibosheth who's been damaged from a young age. He was 5 years old when somebody dropped him. He was in line to be royalty. All of it was taken away from him. He had a better future that something happened and it robbed him of that opportunity, like many of us. Some of us had a scholarship and then one wrong play got hurt and it felt like we were robbed of what we were destined for. Or you had all the self-esteem in the world and then somebody sexually abused you and took advantage of you and it crushed your spirit. See, many people come into these doors and act like life doesn't happen. You were over the youth ministry and you made one mistake and they demoted you and took the position away from you and you never wanted to lead again. You were married to the one you thought was your forever. And they committed adultery and left the relationship. And you felt like you could never recover. Hey, I don't know what's damaged you in your life, but all of us have an area, at least one. But if we're honest, many of us have many areas that are damaged. If we look at our history and our behavior and why we do things and why we don't do things, I mean, some of us right now are scared to be a part of things that don't look like what they used to be. Let me help you. You used to be on a praise and worship team. And now you see these young people up here jumping around and doing all this other stuff, and you could be an asset. That's the praise and worship team. Y'all heard them. They say, yes. But you could be an asset, but somebody told you along the way that your voice sounded a little funny. And so instead of working on it and coming to another level and being everything that you could be, you just stopped. Damaged. And today I want you to understand, like Mephibosheth, that God's goal for your life is to restore every damaged area of your life. He does not want you to die damaged. I want you to hear me say that again. When I was studying and I was praying, God said, Michael, I want my people to know that it is not my goal for them to die damaged. Whatever area it is, your anger, he said, I don't want you to die damaged, angry. Every time something doesn't go your way, you roar up and you become the incredible. How many people have an incredible Hulk? Yeah, come on. If it's the right situation, the right thing, then you turn into somebody. The what do you call it? Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I mean, you just erupt. Other people have the inverse. When they get discouraged, they go and become a hermit crab. They isolate. How many people, when something doesn't go your way, you isolate? Come on, let's be honest. Like, damaged. And God's saying to every single one of us, no matter if I've named your situation or not, God said, I don't want you to die damaged. So what do we have to do like Mephibosheth when God comes to us, when the king calls and when we get in front of him, we have to submit to him, we gotta bow, and then the king's gonna restore us. He restored Mephibosheth. After years of being in a place called Lodabar, a place of nothing, there's years where nothing happened, and one day God restored everything back to him. I came to tell everybody today that it is God. If you don't remember anything else that I say, I want you to know that God's plan for your life is restoration. More and better than what was. Even if it's broken now. And we see that in Mephibosheth's life. He goes up and he gets seated at the king's table. And that boy went from eating ramen noodles to having his choice of whatever he wanted. And the beautiful thing about Mephibosheth's life, he was damaged in his legs. That's what the Bible tells us. When he pulled up a seat at the king's table, his damaged area was what?
Covered.
It was covered. It was covered. See, this is where somebody yelled healed, and I'm glad you did that. Because healing is a process. Covered is instant. So I can still be healing, but God's got me. See, what we want to do is, I don't feel any pain no more, or it doesn't affect me, or have I fully forgiven them? No, 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 no. We're going to walk out your deliverance. We're going to keep working on that. But if you keep reminding everybody you're hurt, then you uncover yourself. But in the grace that I've given you, I've covered you. And what we have to do is agree with the grace of God on our life and not the situation we're still healing from. Because once you receive the grace, the unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor of God. And some of you looking at me like, I don't understand, Pastor Mike. I'm trying to tell you right now, there are things that you are holding on to that God has said, just let it go, because I've already covered that. I've already let go of that. I've already changed the trajectory of your future, but you're holding on to something and I'm pulling you this way and you won't let it go. So you're stuck because my grace is pulling you forward. But your will is keeping you back. And God is saying, let it go. Because if you let me do the restoration, it'll be more than you've ever experienced. Mephibosheth, again, went from eating ramen noodles to having his choice. He had land that the king ordered a guy named Ziba and all 35 of his servants to work for him. This man, he literally went from not having anything to having it done for him. There are things that God wants to place. The Bible tells us that you will live in houses you didn't build. You'll have land that you didn't farm, you didn't till. This is what restoration looks like. God gives you and places you in areas that you don't deserve, but it's because of his goodness and his favor on your life that he says, yeah, you're my child. You received me. You accepted me. Here you go. You see, there's nothing my daughter Isabella does to deserve what I do for her. It's because she's mine. And we don't look at God like that. We look at him like we have to earn every single thing that he does for us. Oh, I know why I got that blessing. It's because I gave that $5 in that offering. No, boo-boo. That $5 or that not, he's trying to make you more like him. He's trying to give you the character and the discipline to do the right things. But do you really think you deserved what God gave you? Do you really think you deserved another chance at the marriage after you screwed it up? Do you really think that you deserve? No, but we serve a good God that looks past all of our faults and he sees our needs. And he says, I can't even do this because of what they did, but I can do it because they're mine. Amen. That's good. And I want you to hear me if you don't hear anything else, because there's people going through this damaged goods series and getting healed. I want you to hear me say this. It's not going to be by works. It's not going to be by works. Like, okay, now I'm serving and now I'm reading my Bible 50 minutes a day. And now I'm serious, because we think that somehow we want all of those things. But if the motivation is wrong, the outcome is going to be wrong. And God wants you to know, like Mephibosheth, that your damaged area did not disqualify you to the king. And he's still looking to do good for you. And he still wants more for you. So last week, then we saw this whack guy come into the picture, and his name was Ziba. If you could just put a picture, a mental picture up for everybody to see what I feel like Ziba looks like. This is what, I don't know why, you know, he fights little kids and stuff, you know what I'm saying? I just feel like this is what Ziba looks like to me. Y'all will really realize real quick that I'm just crazy, okay? But I want to paint this picture. So Mephibosheth is getting restored from everything that was stolen from him. Ziba comes along and is supposed to be serving with him. Be careful that everybody that's around you, that God places around you to work with you, is not always for you. You would be naive to think that. And Mephibosheth was so excited just to be restored. He not even looking. He ain't even looking at who's taking care of his stuff. You know, there could have been, I know there was at least one sign that this guy Ziba wasn't really out for the best. But he's like, you know what? this is the best thing I've ever had. Just keep doing it. Keep restoring. He's farming the lamb. His sons are working. He's doing all this other stuff. And one day, I told you last week, David's family, he's the king at the time, he has a problem. His sons are crazy. His sons begin to fight. One of the sons kills the other son. He sends his son away. And then the son come back. Then he gets mad and was like, I'm about to take over dad's throne. I'm going to kill him. I put that on everything. And then they get ready to go and kill King David in the palace. I'm just trying to catch you up because I'm going to give you some damage control principles. What ends up happening in this story is that David runs from the kingdom. And when Mephibosheth, who's been restored by God, been restored by the king, hears that they're leaving the palace, he tells Ziba, hey, bro, hey, my source is moving. The person who restored me, the one who is my sustainer, the one who is the one who brought me from a dark place to this place, he's moving. So I need to move too. And let me stop there because we could go on. But let me just say, if God ever moves, you need to move too. Like if God's doing something new and you're stuck in the way he was doing it, you need to move. And Mephibosheth, knowing that the only reason he's in the place he's in now is because of his right relationship with the king, he was like, hey, get the donkeys, bro. Get a backpack. We out of here. If the king goes, we go. But Ziba's a little hating self. He goes, and I know he's just thinking because he's just a hater. And he's like, man, that fool can't move by himself anyway. He's still damaged in some areas. Let me take advantage of what used to cripple him. That's good. Let me take advantage. Hear what I'm saying. Let me take advantage and bring back to his memory his damaged area. Because up until this point, everything's good because he can get carried anywhere. He can move anywhere he needs to. He has all the resources. He's not worried about food. He's not worried about housing. He's almost forgot that he's damaged. And then somebody with the wrong motive comes in to try to take advantage of his damaged area again. I'm supposed to be working for him, but he can't move without me. He want a piggyback ride, he ain't getting one. And he takes an opportunity that was a complete normal thing and he damages Mephibosheth again. I said it last week, but it's worth being said again. Even when you're healed in a damaged area, it has the opportunity to be damaged again. And if you don't know that, you're playing yourself. I'm out of that. I'm free from lust. I am free. No, I don't look at women. That's my sister. Hey, sister. Y'all know what I'm saying? We try to get this thing that if it's been healed, it could never get. That's why you have to have accountability. That's why you got to have. If it was me, I was just thinking about this, how I think about the Bible. If it was me, and I was Mephibosheth, I would have called my boy Maker that was down in Lodabar. See, because there was a guy that allowed Mephibosheth to stay with him all those years while he was damaged. I would have called, hey, King, could y'all go get my boy and bring him to be with me? Because he cared for me when I was still damaged. He was around in my struggle. And I need some accountability in this new space that I'm in. Just because you get elevated doesn't mean that you don't need protection. Just because you've been better than you've ever been doesn't mean you don't need to be accountable to somebody. Just because you're the leader now. Do you know, as a pastor of the church, I have people I'm accountable to. So I get up here and say something crazy. Somebody can boop, 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 boop. Mike is up here acting a fool. Could you please get up? Why? Because as God takes me up, as the elevator keeps going up, I need accountability. How will you be in the position that God has you in and not have people around? See, because accountability is not just to correct, it's to protect. See, because if Maker was there, the dude who was with me all the time, he would have saw, like, bro, Zippa is getting off with our donkeys, bro. And he would have done something. So what are you saying, Pastor Mike? When you know you've been damaged, never walk alone. This ain't even a point, but I feel the Holy Spirit shifting. When you've been damaged in an area, don't walk alone in that area. If you know you deal with pride, don't be prideful and not tell nobody. You need a, hey, this is what I struggle with. Hey, this is where I'm at. Hey, this is still my problem. I have trouble getting around sometimes. Could you just be around? So if I ever need to get around, could you help me? That's what, hey, I have trouble. Around midnight, I start thinking wrong thoughts in my head. And I go to website. I started off looking at some Yeezys, but I ended up looking at some, and so double DZs. And I just don't, it just came to my head. I'm sorry. But hear me. But hear me, if you're not that real with somebody, if you're not that humble, open, and transparent with somebody, hey, this guy is coming around and I feel myself getting weak around him. We want to say, so I just messed up. I just messed up. I was with you when you took the text message and you didn't say anything. I'm just saying, you have problems stealing money. You probably shouldn't have any accounts with you just on them. Because if you're damaged and you don't have accountability in that area, it is more susceptible to be damaged again. And that's what happened to Mephibosheth. Restored, healed, more than he's ever had. Now, the people who were supposed to be around him, that, watch this, watch this, watch this. It's a beautiful thing about accountability. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Accountability is solicited, not assigned. The king assigned Ziba to serve him, but he still needed to go find somebody he trusted to be accountable to. Because you'll never be accountable to somebody you don't trust. You will never be accountable. That's why all these people going around struggling. You ask them, how you doing? Oh, I'm good, I'm good. And hell is breaking loose in your life. But the reason you didn't tell them the real deal, because you don't trust them. And the reason you don't trust them is because you didn't bring them into the circle. And the reason you didn't bring them into the circle is you think they were going to judge you because you're damaged in the area. But when you know everybody's damaged, it's easier to bring people in and say, hey, I'm not telling everybody this, but I need you. I need you. I think about my boy John, who was just up here doing transition. Me and him are accountable to each other. There have been times when that brother's called me and being like, Mike, I just need to confess some stuff. That's him. And he was like, my wife don't know this yet, but nobody else knows it, but I need to tell you because I know if I let this cancer sit, it's not just going to be where I could cut it out. It's going to spread to a place where I'm going to have to get chemo around my whole life. And because of that trust, I've been able to help him be literally get out of situations that would have led to his destruction. The same thing I'm saying with you. I'm not telling you to go around and get 50 people and have a community meeting every night about everything you do wrong. Like, this is me. My name is John and I am a sinner. Like, don't do that. What I am saying is if Mephibosheth would have had real accountability, he wouldn't have got played a second time. If he had true friends around him, he wouldn't have been able to be damaged again. And many of us are damaged because we're alone. And God just wanted to switch everything up just for a minute and let you know that walking alone was never his plan for your life. That's why he created Eve in the garden. He said, it is not good for you to be alone. That's why he sent the disciples out. How many by how many? Two by two. He said, none of y'all by yourselves is going to do this right. So I'm encouraging you to not get played like Mephibosheth, because he was damaged again. Ziba done gone off and met King David and said, King, ha-ha, it's your boy Ziba. I'm here. I brought all these donkeys. I brought this bread for the people to eat. I brought this wine for everybody to drink. And the first thing the king said, he didn't even acknowledge Ziba. He said, where's your master? Where's Mephibosheth? And then he had to lie. And then he had to slander. And I want us to pick this thing up right here in 2 Samuel chapter 19. And I want you to see it, chapter 19, verse 17. Because what happened is Ziba lied on Mephibosheth, and the king got frustrated and said, well, cool. Everything I gave to him, everything I restored to him, I'm now giving it to you. That messed me up when I read it the first time. Because I was like, hold on now. How is this liar, this thief, this hater getting elevated and he's wrong? I mean, I wrestle with this. See, some of us, we read the Bible, but I wrestle with the Bible. Like, because if it don't make sense, I'm like, God, you got to give me some revelation. Because if you represent the king and you a great king and you a good father and all this other stuff, and now the hater gets away and you give him all my stuff, but you don't know I'm in a broken place and I'm damaged and he left me and I was really trying to do the right thing, but he's doing the wrong thing. And then you rewarded him. God told me so clearly. He said the reason he rewarded Ziba was to test Mephibosheth's heart. Your hater is a part of your growth. See, this was never about Ziba, because you reap what you sow. This was about Mephibosheth. God wanted to make sure that his heart was still in the right place, and he would use somebody that shouldn't have been elevated to see. Because you will never see what's in your heart till you're done wrong. I'm just telling you, do something to somebody's kids. Let somebody do something to your kids. And then the principal would be like, well, that's just what happens. That's just what happens. I'm going to tell you what happens. Get the baby, bring him out, 3 o'clock, like you. Y'all already know, in your minivan, scoping. Is that them? Telling your older kids, go. When I say, I'm gonna run up, you jump out, knock them, I'll meet you at the end. Y'all trifling. On sight, you know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is adversity, trial, injustice, it'll expose your heart really quick. And the reason Ziba got this was not about Ziba. It was about Mephibosheth. And so now we pick up King David and them. They win the victory. They're headed back to the palace to rule. And Absalom is dead, his son. And now this is where we pick up in 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 17. All these people are coming now to help the king and all his family and all his concubines get back to the city. And it says, there were 1,000 Benjamites, verse 17, along with Ziba, the steward of Saul's household, and his 15 sons and 20 servants, the 35 people that were supposed to be loyal to Mephibosheth. They rushed to the Jordan where the king was. They took the king and his household over and did whatever they wish. I can just see them with their coats and just, oh, king, please don't let your royal feet be bothered by the water. They're just in here trying to brown nose their way, because when you don't deserve a position, you have to work your way to keep the position. Y'all see what it says at the end? It says they, the household, all of them went over to do whatever he wished. But when you get into a spot that's yours, you can rest in it. Jump down to verse 24. It says, Mephibosheth, Saul's grandson, also went down to meet the king. Now, this trips me out. See, this is how I read the Bible. How did he get there? How? The guy that was supposed to help him played him. He's been literally sitting at the same spot, and now it's saying that Mephibosheth's come down to the Jordan to meet the king. This is what, see, you gotta look past what it says and see what God's trying to say. There's always a ram in the bush. If they left your life, God will send somebody else. If they didn't work out, God will send it. If that business didn't work and he said you'd be a CEO, he'll send somebody else. It doesn't even give their name, who they are, because they don't need credit. God will use people to get you to the place you're supposed to be at. I want you to see this so clearly. It said Mephibosheth saw the damaged guy, the broken guy. It says he also went down to meet the king. But look at his condition. He had not taken care of his feet or trimmed his mustache or washed his clothes from the day the king left until the day he returned safely. That was a funky meeting. But I want to give you my first point right here. This is a damage control principle. This is the thing that'll help you if you've been hurt before, that if a damaging situation's trying to come back, that it won't hurt you the same way because you're going to know now. You're going to be able to say, y'all know what damage control is, right? Like, it's when your wife asks you, how do I look in this dress? And you're not really paying attention. And you'd be like, you look cool. And then she said, cool. And then men automatically have this switch that goes on to damage control. We just start saying whatever needs to be said. I mean, cool. When I said cool, I meant like a Bahamas breeze and 72 degrees. So that, you know what I'm saying? Because we don't want them problems. It's trying to contain the damage that could be done. And what I'm saying is things are going to come in your life to try to damage you again, but these four principles I'm going to give you that we learned from Mephibosheth's life, it's going to give you the opportunity to control some of those areas that could destroy things. You're going to be like, I know what's happening. The first one that you have to realize is you have to stay faithful to the king through your trial. This is the first damage control principle that Mephibosheth gives us. The reason he didn't, some of y'all are like, why didn't he take a bath? Why didn't he shave? Why didn't he clip them toenails? It's because since he could not go, he had to show a sign that he was still faithful to the king. This was his sign that no matter what happens to me, I need you to know that I'm going to be faithful to trust you in this horrible season. And see, many of us, when we go through a trial, we become unfaithful to the king. Just honestly, it didn't go the way that we wanted to go. We go out and find fun ourselves. We go back to the club. We go hang out with the person we was not supposed to. We stop coming to church. We stop doing those things. And the thing that you have to understand is, yeah, you'll be damaged, but don't stop being faithful to the king just because you got damaged again. He got played. But he stayed faithful. He said, I'm going to consecrate myself. I'm going to sacrifice something so that the king knows that whenever we get back in right relationship, I stayed faithful. What does that look like? I'm going to parallel this with the situation in my life. A few years back, I had the most horrible business transaction ever happen in my life. And what ended up happening is through a series of events, we went through a situation trying to build a home. The contracts were bad. Stuff started happening. Our house didn't get finished. All this other stuff happened. And I was still coming here. I was preaching. I was doing all kinds of stuff, not trying not to let it come. I was mad. I was pissed. I was frustrated. I would pray for people and then have to turn around and pray for myself because I was like, Lord, why? No, I'm just being real, okay? But in that season, I fasted every Wednesday. I mean, when I say every Wednesday, I fasted every Wednesday. It was the hardest season of my life. But I said, God, I'm going to do something to even in a place where I don't understand, I'm serving you, I'm praying for people, we running internships, I'm doing all this. Why is this happening? I done gave, I done sown seed, I done all of this, and it looks like you're nowhere to be found. But I know if I unplug from being faithful to you, even when I don't hear you, even when I don't see you, even when it feels like you've left me, that's just gonna be bad for me. So every Wednesday, I'd push away my plate and I wouldn't eat and I'd pray. And some of those prayers were hard, y'all. I mean, God, hey. Thank you. Thank you for breath. Thank you for life. Thank you for my wife. Yeah, thank you for my wife, Lord. Thank you for my daughter. Lord, you know we had to sleep in this house, and it's the coldest winter, and we don't have any heat in our home, and we just brought our baby home. Yeah. No. I gave the money to get heat, and they didn't put a heating system in. So now it's winter, and my firstborn is covered up, and we're wearing full winter clothes to bed. And I just feel like you've left me. And I feel like I don't know if I can go minister to people this Sunday. And I just need you to give me grace to do it one more time. I do love you, but I don't feel you. Amen. Now, and you know what God does? When he's not talking, you're in a test. No good teacher talks during the test. They've given you everything you needed for this, and now I'm going through what I got to go through, but he's not talking because it's a test. That's what Mephibosheth was going through. He was in a place that was alone, and he felt like God wasn't talking because it was not about Ziba, remember? It was about Mephibosheth. It was a test to see if he would stay faithful when he didn't feel like anything was happening on his behalf. You may be in here today and you're like, I haven't heard God. I come to this church, everybody act like he moving. Where he at though? Like, I don't understand. It seems like everybody else's marriage is happy. It seems like everybody else's kids is doing good and getting A's in school. Look at Junior. I'm just serious because it just looks like nothing's lining up. All my other friends are getting married and all my other friends getting houses and all my other friends. And I'm just sitting out here. And God says, you're in a test. I came to tell you, shh, be quiet. Steel yourself and remember the past seasons that he's taking you through, because he's trying to allow you to pass the test of right now. I know it's uncomfortable. I know it doesn't feel good. I know it feels like you were not prepared for this, but it's in you. And if you use what's already been given to you, you're gonna pass this test. And so that's what Mephibosheth did. His way of passing the test was showing God that he would not give up on him. So he didn't shave. He didn't wash his clothes. He didn't shave. He didn't clip his toenails, because he wanted, whenever the teacher came back, to see, I did this and I passed. It won't be because I walked away. It won't be because I brought extra problems into my life by going back to drinking and going back to alcohol and going back to gossip. That's not what happened. I stayed faithful even when I didn't feel you. I kept coming to church when I felt like everybody was looking at me. I kept serving when everybody was out to look at me differently and my damaged area. I kept on. So God, it will not be because I quit. Because your word says that the righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up again. And so after I've done all to stand, I'm going to stand. And some of you need to get that resolve because you're in the fight of your life. And you want to run. And God says, stay faithful to me, even when you don't feel me. Some of you are believing God for a healing right now. I feel the Spirit of God. And the doctor's report keeps coming back bad. And God's just trying to see, is your confession going to change? I'm healed. Well, Mr. Todd, this is not looking good. I'm healed. Well, we ran the test we said we were going to run. We did the 6-week biopsy, and it looks exactly worse than it did before we came in here. I'm healed. He's just trying to work in you the stamina to stay faithful even in the trial. My marriage is healed. I want a divorce. My marriage is restored. I'm leaving you. Okay, bye. I'll be there. Where are you going to be? Because I'm coming with you. God is waiting for somebody to stay faithful through the trial. And Mephibosheth stayed faithful through the trial. Second thing, verse 27, it says, my lord the king is like an angel of God, so do whatever you wish. This is what happens. He comes before the king, and he said, why'd you leave me? He said, this dude lied on me. He slandered my name. He betrayed me. He said, but I haven't shaved. I haven't done anything. Look at me. I'm in a broken state right now because I've been waiting for you to come back and speak to me. And he said, but you know what? I'm not even worthy of all of this. You can do whatever you wish. This is the second point I want to give you. To have damage control, you need to trust the king with the outcome. See, Mephibosheth was so confident in his relationship with God that even though he was in a trial, even though he was in a bad situation, he didn't go to explaining everything that happened and trying to build the case against Ziba. I love this because when you read this whole narrative that I can't go into, but I wish we had like 2 hours so I could just do it, he never blamed Ziba. He never made it about him. He just said, my man betrayed me. He slandered my name. If that was me, I would have built a case. February 26th. You know what I'm saying? I would have built that case so hard and just said, and it is his fault and he is guilty. Restore to me. He didn't do that because he knew right relationship with the king would restore everything that he needed. He said, so I trust you. Do whatever you wish because you know better. You know why that person left my life. You know why you took me off that job. You know why you have me at this church. You know better. Some of us just need, that needs to be our prayer life from now on. God, you know better. This is what I want, but you know better. There's a reason I didn't finish school at the time I was supposed to. There's a reason that you took me through this trial, because you know better. God says in Jeremiah 29:11 that I have plans for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. What is he trying to say? I know better. And so when you know God knows better, then you can be confident in trusting that all things are really working together for your good. Proverbs 3:5, my life scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is the greatest part for me. And lean not to your own. Because in my understanding, I would have done this completely different. I mean, all the way back from the garden, I would have just killed Adam and Eve and started over with Abram and Eden. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would have started over. But God said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than yours. So when you trust in the Lord with all your heart, you have to divorce your own understanding. When you really trust God, it is the prerequisite to divorce what makes sense to you. That's why many people go through college and get these degrees and then God have you work in a whole nother field. And you're like, now what? He said, because when you really started trusting me, he said, I had to cut your understanding. And I have to do it to a place where you can trust me. And that's what Mephibosheth did. He trusted the king with the outcome. And today God wants you to trust him. Third thing, Mephibosheth was grateful to the king for what he already had. Verse 28 says, all my grandfather's descendants deserve nothing but death from my lord the king. But you gave your servant a place among those who eat at your table. So what right do I have to make any more appeals to the king? This man in his damaged state was so aware of how good the king was still to him. And many times we miss that. When we go through a bad situation, we forget how far and how good God has been to us. I mean, if you really think about the last 10 years of your life and how God delivered you, he's changing you, he's renewing you. Your marriage was on the brink. It was over. You had made the decision. Your mind was made up to commit suicide. And God literally has brought you back. He has restored you. And then we get into one thing. My check was short. God, you said I tithed. I did what you said, and now look. And I know God, he's just like, Lord Jesus. Or maybe Lord me. Like, I mean, just, he's like, they haven't learned yet. Like, anything I do to make it feel a little uncomfortable is because I'm trying to make their character more like me. They didn't get it yet. I purposely told them to give that seed that made them $30 short in their bills so I could see what they would do at the last moment. You know, they don't even know I've already discounted their whole cell phone bill for the next month, but they just won't trust me in this 3 hours. It's never what it looks like. It's all about God trying to make you look like him. And so when damaged situations come into our life again, I make it a conscious effort to stop and think about how good God's been to me. Now, I mean, just stop. Stop talking. Mm-mm. God, thank you. This sucks. This sucks. This is a big one. But man, I don't even qualify to be a part of this decision right now. God, you've been so faithful. God, I thank you that me and my wife made it 6 years married. I mean, this argument, I mean, this looked like it's going to be it. It's going to be over at six. But God, thank you, because I remember thinking we wasn't going to make it two. And we're here at six. God, thank you for providing this home. We don't have the money to renovate it, but God, I think if you stop and think how good God's already, I know I'm dealing with this disease, but the one they gave me before this that they said was gonna kill me, I'm still breathing. It changes your perspective on what's happening when you get thankful for what God's already done. Yeah, we need more business, but God, we got a gym. God, we do need, my children do need better grade. They do need to do better. But Father, I thank you that our relationship is kind of somewhat halfway getting a little better. I mean, sometimes you have to reach for gratefulness. But when you reach for it, gratitude fills up areas in your heart that will give you the fuel to continue to move forward. And that's what Mephibosheth did. He said, you know what, King? Cool, I ain't got nothing now. I had my other homie bring me up here to just tell you what happened. But I know all my family deserved death anyway. When my grandfather and father died, I should have died too. And you didn't just let me live, but you restored me. So at this point, I know what I deserve. So you know what? It's cool. Because you've already done so much for me, it doesn't even matter what happens out of this situation. See, what does it look like when we get to the point when we're in a damaged situation where you say, God, you done so much for me. I really would like you to come through, but it don't even matter. I'm not even supposed to be here, but you have been faithful. You have been good. You have restored me once. And so he said, who am I to even ask the king or make any more appeals? I trust you and you already been good. So what do you do now? Last point. In the words, I'm just going to read the scripture first. Verse 29. Now this tripped me out. Said the king said to him after he said all of this stuff, why say more? I order you, Ziba, the hater, the one who has caused all of this, to be in control of this situation, and now you divide the land. Now this messed me up. This is me wrestling again with scripture. Because Mephibosheth was done wrong, but Ziba gets to divide it. Now, it was my land in the first place. But when you about to restore and do everything right, you give the hater the upper hand to be the one to divide the land. And first off, why are we dividing the land? It was all mine. And he came in, lied, we got that, slandered my name, made up stuff, and he still walks away with half of my stuff. He walks away with some of my friends. They walk away with the business proposal I made. I want to recall back to your attention that the trial and the hater is never about them. It's all about your heart. And this is where I would have messed it all up. Like me personally, I'm like, okay, king, great and mighty king. That's how you gonna do us? I don't think you heard me. I said, he came, lied on me, took my donkeys, you see? And then he came and lied. And he didn't even defend it. Look what he says. He said, Mephibosheth said to the king, let him take everything. Now that my lord, the king, has returned home safely. Now, this is the difference between immaturity and maturity. Because immaturity is worried about the stuff. Maturity is worried about the source of the stuff. You missed it. Immaturity worries about, well, they got the promotion and they got the girl and they got the stuff. Mephibosheth said, forget all that. I am back in right relationship with the one who gave it to me in the first place. So if I have right relationship with the king, what is the land that Ziba has? I am back with the restorer. So anything I need has the potential to be restored. And I came to tell many of us, we need to take a cue from Mephibosheth and the great psalmist Elsa, and we need to let it go. Oh yes, she is a psalmist to our generation, if you didn't know. See, many of us are holding on to things and forfeiting our right relationship with the restorer. But Mephibosheth knew as long. See, this is the thing. The hater wasn't coming back. Look, oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You got to see that he got the land, but he lost his job. There's no way. After Mephibosheth, you remember what his job description was. You work for Mephibosheth for the rest of your life. You and all your sons, as long as he lived, you work for him. At the moment he got his land, that's all he would ever get. He just cut off the inheritance for his children's children. You reap what you sow. There's no way Mephibosheth would bring him back. Bro, you thought you had to, man, get out of here. I bet you will never set foot on this land again. He lost his job. He lost legacy. And he lost his credibility. Yes.
So anybody in the whole kingdom, if they heard his name, it was synonymous with what he did to Mephibosheth. Not that he was a servant of the king or anything. This is what I'm saying. God's got your haters. Stop worrying about who doesn't like you and who's not for you and who didn't pick you and who keeps overlooking you. God's got them. Just let that go. See, Mephibosheth was focused on the king because he knew the king just got all his territory back. He knows I didn't lie. I stayed faithful to him. I stand the test of time. He started me back out with half of what I had.
Catch the revelation. Sometimes when you're damaged, God won't start you back where you were. He'll start you back with half of what you had and see how you would steward over it.
But you can't think of it as a loss because you have right relationship with the king. And this is what I felt as I closed this morning. This is what I felt that Mephibosheth had in his mind. I'm not going to trip, and I'm going to let that unforgiveness, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let the pain, I'm going to let the right to talk about this to other people, I'm going to let it go. And you may be in here, and you're saying, well, you don't know what they did to me, Pastor Mike, and I'm damaged because this, and I was free from that, and then they did it again. You need to what? Let it go. Let it go. Everybody, just in an act of faith, just hold something right here, and then just drop it. Let it go. See, because if you do that, I believe this was what God gave everybody in this place, is giving everybody in this place. And this is what Mephibosheth thought. If the king did it before, he can do it again.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or our website at transformchurch.us/give. And don't forget to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this. Now go and live a transformed life.